How many of you are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan? Anybody? How many of you are familiar with the biblical story of the snarky lawyer? Yes, the snarky lawyer, or perhaps the self-righteous lawyer. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10. And in this first, it's not going to be an hour. In these first few minutes, I would like to look at the lawyer who asks Jesus a significant question. And then in the next hour, we will look at, indeed, the parable that Jesus tells, the one we know as the Good Samaritan. And just a disclaimer before I start, this sermon was not prepared through artificial intelligence. So I take full responsibility for what comes out of my mouth. So, Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test. That's Jesus saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you need, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So, the snarky lawyer. And indeed, we do see he's a little snarky because he asks his question, a very good question, perhaps not with all this sincerity. And after Jesus proposes this counter question, we see that Luke records he wants to justify himself. So his motives aren't entirely pure, but he does ask a very good question. Who is this person? A lawyer. In my studies, I read the following. While the title appears occasionally in the Old Testament designating a leadership position, it is primarily applied to people who are responsible for copying and interpreting the scriptures. The most important scribe in the Old Testament is Ezra. By the time the New Testament came around, scribe meant one of a group of popular and respected scholars who interpreted the Hebrew scriptures, especially the first 5 books. So scribe, lawyer, interpreter of the law, are used synonymously, especially in Luke. So we can imagine that these are people who pay a lot of attention to detail and have a very strong sense of oughtness. Things should be this way. And we know that because the law says this. So they were very familiar not just with the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the 5 books, but they were also very familiar with the whole arguments of other rabbis regarding the interpretation of these scriptures. So that's who this person is. He is a lawyer in that sense. And he asked the question, what then shall I do to inherit eternal life? We don't see that mentioned too often in the Old Testament, do we? That term, eternal life. There's one particular passage in Daniel chapter 12, the first two verses. I can just read those for you, a reference to eternal life. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, there's the term, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So you could imagine that this lawyer is thinking, is it going to be everlasting contempt or everlasting life? And wants to know, Jesus, Rabbi, what is the answer? And Jesus, not surprisingly, responds with a question to him. You, lawyer, scribe, interpreter of the law, what does the law say? And he answers correctly from both Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, and also from Leviticus, the part about loving your neighbor. So he prompts him to ask out of his own understanding. And so we see that the lawyer has the correct head knowledge. He can go to the scriptures and find out what they in fact do say about what it is, what it takes to inherit eternal life, what it takes to please God and love the neighbor. But has he thought it all the way through? Perhaps not. And so that's why Jesus then prompts him to continue thinking with the response of the parable. But when we think about this lawyer and is asking questions, it is a good thing to ask when we don't understand. It's good to ask questions about the scriptures. We who know them know that there is always an explanation. It may not be entirely satisfying to our human comprehension, but the scriptures are entirely defensible in every case. We have three children. They went through the process of leaving home, going off to study, and finding their own faith from what we had left with them. And it was both terrifying and a great relief to see them asking questions about it. Especially our daughter would text, and Dad, what do you really think about this particular passage? And so on one hand, we're thinking, they're going to lose their faith. They're just going to walk away from this. But at the same time, they're asking good questions. They're asking the right questions. And so we should encourage one another. We should encourage our children, our young people, to ask questions when there's a concern. And so what's really remarkable in this is Jesus' response. So someone came to you and said, what would I have to do to inherit eternal life? Would you respond as Jesus does in this passage? Probably not. Probably not. In fact, we can turn over to Luke chapter 18, in verse 18, and see a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus does not answer in the same way. So another leader comes to him ask the exact same question, and Jesus has a different response. We think about the encounters that Jesus had with people who came to him, and the different ways that Jesus responded to each. Nicodemus, who came to him by night. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, you have to be born again. To the Samaritan woman at the well, he has a different answer. You're really looking for something in all those relationships with men that I can give you, that's something like water that will always satisfy you. I have something to offer that the world does not. I can meet your need. When the Pharisees came to him, those who trusted in their own religiosity, their own righteousness, he didn't ask questions. You brood of vipers, you know who you are. So what we see is that Jesus did not come with pat answers. He did not come with the four spiritual laws or the Roman road. Those are great tools for us, but we see something in Jesus that really stirs me, and it's a desire to know the person with whom he speaks. A desire to see beyond the words and listen, to understand the heart, to see what the need is of each person and respond in kind. It's a really high bar, and Jesus is our model. But is that something that we can consider do as we relate to people? And so as Jesus responds to this man and says, consider God who is merciful. Consider loving your neighbor in this really expansive way. We can trust that Jesus knows that this will help this man to understand. It's given him all the evidence he needs to understand that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is the Messiah who did indeed come to save his people. He wouldn't be as a king, like a Roman emperor. He would be a servant king who died on a cross and offered salvation, not just to this snarky lawyer, but to all humanity. And so with this picture of Jesus in mind, one who tries to understand the heart of each person, let's ask ourselves, do people come to us with questions? When was the last time someone came to me and said, David, what does it take to have eternal life? Or do I limit myself too much to a Christian bubble where I isolate myself from the world? Could that be part of my reality? Or am I just fearful of interacting with others regarding my faith? And then there's always the question, well, Jesus always knew the right thing to say. How about me? Do I know what to say? Could I imagine myself responding to someone with a really challenging question? Can I prepare myself for those kinds of encounters? Can I know the scriptures in that way so that I could respond in a moment? And most of all, can I follow the example of Jesus of really wanting to know this person in front of me? What is this person experiencing? What is the need of this person? Where does this person hurt? How can I respond from the truth of God to guide this person to know Jesus, to have a personal relationship with that person? Father, we thank you for this example of the Lord Jesus, who knows each of us intimately and is able to respond, is able to present himself to us so that we can respond to his grace. Father, we desire to have this kind of love for the world, to have a knowledge of your scriptures, to be able to respond, to be led by your Spirit in each occasion. Guide each of us, Lord, as we step out of this building at noon, armed with the same desire to love humanity and respond to the needs we see around us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.